Florida State versus Virginia. Friday night lights, Michael. And this isn't a high school game. This is an ACC game. Florida State's first ACC game, their first road game, their first night game. This is a big one in Charlottesville, man. This is going to go a long way improving whether this is the Florida State team we think it is or not. This is the first team in 3 weeks that they played with a pulse. And so, man, I tell you what, I am ready to see Florida State get back in action up in Charlottesville on Friday night for a big ACC matchup against a team, a UVA team that's been hot so far this season. So, man, really excited. We got a fully loaded episode as we dig into this game. We are going to leave no stone unturned here because we got a lot to talk about, man. This is a game that I think we're both excited about and both a little bit nervous about as it gets closer to kickoff. So, man, lots to talk about. But before we do that, how are you, my friend? And thanks for joining me for another episode.
Thanks for having me again. I love PTS. Yeah, you know, listen, to say that we're 3-0, like as you love to remind me, we pray for times like these, right? Yeah. After last season. So it's exciting to be 3-0. It's exciting to be headed to Virginia as the number 8-7, whichever poll you like to call there, as one of the top 10 teams in the country. That's really exciting. It's also nerve-wracking, and I know we're going to get into this because – you know, this place on times when we've been top ranked and they haven't has not gone well for us. So yeah. We definitely have some skeletons that we need to get out of that closet for this game.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Carter Finley and Raleigh being the house of horrors, the snake pit, but Charlottesville has not been kind to us either. So, man, we'll jump into it. So, as I mentioned, first road game, first night game, first ACC game. And Michael, this, I was saying this a couple weeks ago, this has trap game written all over it. You're going on the road on a Friday night, a non-Friday or non-Saturday game, which already makes us nervous as Florida State fans to begin with. But right. You also know that you have the number 2 Hurricanes coming into Tallahassee the next week. So it's got trap game written all over it. And like you said, we have some bad history up there in Charlottesville. But I will say this, man, when I look at this team this year, they seem very hyper-focused. They have not played with their food. They have not played down to the competition. So that does give me confidence going into this game. But still, Michael, I'm a little nervous for this one, like I said, but I'm very much excited about it because, you know, I talked about this on a show yesterday that I did where I think this is like I'm in a position with Florida State where I'm in a trust but verify mode, right? I trust what I saw against Alabama. I trust what I saw against East Texas A&M and Kent State, even if it's a lesser competition. It's not about the score on the score, but it's about how you won the game. You went out there and you took care of business. They smashed those teams. But, you know, it's also been 3 weeks since we've seen them play a team with a pulse. And so I think the farther that Alabama win gets in our rearview mirror, kind of the more I'm ready to see Florida State take on another opponent with a pulse so we can kind of know that, can I trust what I saw with my eyes against Alabama in week one? And I feel like this is going to be a team where, no, this isn't Alabama 2.0, but UVA is a heck of a lot better than the last two teams that we played. And so this is going to be a challenge for Florida State. They're going to be on the road for the first time this season. And so, man, they got to go up there and handle their business. So I'm excited about this game it's just the next game on the schedule. But I'm also excited because, you know, we were all riding high after that Alabama win. But these last 3 weeks, while I think they were good for Florida State to build your depth, to, you know, not really overdo it with your starters, to get in sync and things like that when you had a lot of injuries in spring. I think it was great for the program. It also kind of makes me nervous that, like, it didn't move the needle at all, right? And so now I just want to see us play like we did against Alabama, against another team that's actually going to put up a fight.
Yeah, you know, kind of the way I look at this, I love the idea of what you're saying here is trust but verify. The idea what I kind of get to is, like, it's like building a house, okay? Alabama was your strong foundation, right? But then, you know, East Texas A&M and Kent State, you're putting up these frames and stuff like that, right? But now you really got to get to the inside of the house. You got to get the nitty-gritty. You got to get the plaster and the wires and the piping and all of that stuff. And that's what these next games are. This is Virginia, right? Virginia is kind of some of that. They are a higher level than East Texas A&M. They're a higher level than Kent State. They're not Alabama. Like, let's just be real. They're not Alabama. But you have to throw on the fact that they do have a high scoring offense. I know we're going to get into that. You have to throw on the fact that this is on the road at Charlottesville. You have to throw on the fact that it is a Friday night, right? So your schedule's kind of wonky. It's a short week. Your normal, you know, Sunday became basically Monday and then kind of truncated week. All those factors going. This is the first time that you're on the road. How do you respond? I know we're going to talk about Tommy. How does Tommy respond on the road, especially against this team where he's not had a lot of luck against as well too. So there's all those different factors that come into play. But what I will say is, it doesn't take away from the fact, going to what you said about trust, that what we saw, I mean, you and I were there in person. We saw what we saw against Alabama. And then you and I have access to the all 22s. We've been watching. We've been seeing. Yeah. And that stuff continues to show. What we saw in Alabama continues to show up. Now can they go out and put it on the field again against a higher caliber component or opponent that is D1, that is Power 4, might be a lower level Power 4, but it's still Power 4 on the road.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this is a Virginia team that's got some confidence coming into this one. And really for Florida State, the other thing too is you're not sneaking up on anybody. You're toting a top 10 ranking going up to Charlottesville. So, you know, you have now, like the way we looked at that Alabama game, like, hey, man, this could really, coming off of last year, this could be a program-defining win. Yeah. Well, now that's the same thing for UVA, right? You're toting a top 10 ranking, so you're not sneaking up on anybody. UVA, I looked at their schedule. They don't have another team that's going to come to Charlottesville that's probably going to be ranked in the top 10. They don't have Miami this year. Clemson, even if they played them, they wouldn't be top 10. So this could be a program-defining win for them. And realistically, I imagine where – maybe Florida State hopes with Miami on the backside of this. I think this coaching staff understands you have to do anything that it takes to win. You can leave nothing in the bag and leave nothing in the bag and leave with a loss, right? You have to pull out all the stops. But I imagine they probably would not like to show all their cards when Miami's coming to town next week. Virginia, on the other hand, has got nothing to lose. I expect to see some trick plays. I expect to see some things maybe that we haven't seen from them this season. So that is one thing that I am going to be watching in this game is they kind of got nothing to lose, right? They can let it all hang out. But, you know, when you talk about the environment here, Scott Stadium only holds about 55,000, and this game is not currently sold out, which is kind of crazy. It just kind of tells you how serious they take football up there in the wine and cheese country. But the funny thing is, so I say that to say I don't think it's going to be an environment that Florida State can't handle, right? But this team is still – never been out of the confines of home. And they talked about how they feed off the energy of the fans in Doak Campbell Stadium and all that. So what are you going to do when you don't have that? Now, with that being said, I do expect Florida State to have a pretty good showing of fans in this game. I think you're going to have at least 20-30% of the crowd. I really do, because I've heard from some UVA people that I know that Florida State typically travels pretty well to this game. And I mean, they're already trying to hype this up. They're trying to build excitement for it. It's a blue out, which is funny because I've seen the fans on Twitter saying wear orange, the school saying wear blue. So we don't like either color, but they can't even figure out what to do. But really what I'm hoping, Michael, is we're going to turn this blue out into a blowout. And that's what I'm hoping Florida State does on Friday night. But, you know, we talk about this game, man. This is really important, right? Because I think the way the ACC picture is shaping up with Clemson kind of removing themselves, but you got Miami looks good. You got three or four teams that have an easy ACC schedule, like a Georgia Tech,
right?
Where you can't afford to have two conference losses and expect to make it to Charlotte. So this is not a game that you can afford to lose. And we said in the preseason that this was a can't-lose game, right, for Mike Norvell and Florida State. But that picture has changed since you beat Alabama in the way you look, but I still feel the same way about this game, right? I feel like you still cannot go on the road and lose this game because it would be a bad look for you at an at-large perspective, and it would also give you your first ACC loss. So, you know, with all the early season momentum you have, I still look at this as it's a can't-lose game.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, now you could argue that every game is
can't lose games. They all can't lose games.
But I agree that at this at this junction, this is a game you shouldn't lose, therefore you can't lose. That's how I see it. You shouldn't lose this game, so you can't lose this game. You're right. It's the first ACC competition for you. So if you lose this, now you're in the hole in the ACC. You're playing from behind. Also, from a national perspective, this probably, you know, the way those polls work, and they just be letting unicorns, pick the teams there. If you lose this game, you're probably dropping somewhere to 20 or something like that. And then, of course, now at your at-large resume gets really affected by this and almost makes every game after that a can't-lose seriously kind of game, right? And so you definitely want to make sure that you go to Charlottesville and you handle business. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, a dub's a dub. So if you only win by 1 point, you won.
Still a win.
Now, for us, we'll be concerned if you only win by 1 point. But the most important thing is to get that win.
Yeah, and when I say the picture has changed, it hasn't changed my outlook on the game, but the reason I say the picture has changed because, before the Alabama game, I think most of us were like, all right, let's just go 8-4, make a nice bowl. 9-3 would be certainly nice. Maybe even 10-2. Maybe we go 10-2.
Maybe.
Now I think you're like, okay, do I need to get a hotel room for Charlotte? Are we considering making the playoffs? You're a top 10 team now. I don't think anybody saw that coming before this game. So that's what I say when I mean the picture has changed because your goals and aspirations have changed. Now you're trying. You were always trying to make it to Charlotte, but now you feel like you have a really good chance to make it to Charlotte.
Correct.
And knowing you have Miami coming next week, you just can't afford to lose a game like this. You just can't. But let's talk about this game, man. Let's first, we're going to provide some updates, right? We have some injury news here. The good thing for Florida State is it does sound like, and this is what we expected the whole time, there was a lot of load management over the last 3 weeks with some guys they were just being cautious about. But it does sound like Squirrel White, Randy Pittman, and we will see Kevin Wynn make his first appearance in Garnet Gold. So really, the positive news for Florida State is it sounds like going into kind of the second part of your season here, you're as healthy as you've been so far. And from what we've heard, Tommy did an interview on ESPN last night. He said he's 100%. He's good to go. So you're about as healthy as you've been this season. And that's positive news. Now, on the flip side of things, UVA has not had the same luck, right? It's not been with a whole lot of positions, but right now they're dealing with some offensive line issues. They could be without their starting center, who suffered a lower leg injury against Stanford. He is listed on the depth chart as the starter. But Tony Elliott did say, I'm going to probably confuse Tony White and Tony Elliott at least once or twice the show. Yeah. but Tony Elliott did say that he is day to day. He has also said that they have been, quote unquote, playing musical chairs on the offensive line because they have a multitude of injuries. And when the thing that kind of makes your mouth water if you're Florida State is, well, the one thing that you're worried about with this Virginia team is the offense. Right. And so if they have a banged up offensive line that's probably moving some guys around, that's positive news for you. I did also read where they were supposed to get a 7th-year safety back, but he was not listed on the depth chart, so I'm not quite sure about him as well. But, man, coming into this game, you're about as healthy as you've been, and Virginia's dealing with some issues on the offensive line. And when that's their power, their strength, that's good for Florida State.
Yeah, and we're going to get into this when we get into the specifics of their offense and their defense. But the way they're currently constructed, they're already playing with, from a further position than Florida State is as far as talent wise. So to lose the guys that you kind of came into the season beginning believing was going to be a part of that, that's going to be even more detrimental if that ends up happening. Now, listen, if they play knowing Florida State's luck, they're going to miraculously get healed and they're going to be ready to go and they're going to get beer muscles and play out of their minds. Like, let's just be real. Right.
Yeah.
But even with them playing, you there's already a significant gap in talent as far as Florida State and Virginia is concerned. So to have them miss that game would be even more detrimental to Virginia and what they could potentially do. So we'll see. I think the injury report you were telling me pre-service, that injury report comes out 24 hours before and a few hours before. So we'll be able to see whether or not those guys are able to suit up and go.
Yeah, and we still don't know that we're going to believe those anyway. So, we'll see. This is new this year, so we'll see. There's going to be a lot of gamesmanship playing. But, man, before we actually jump into the game, I will say one thing that does make me feel confident about this, because we talked about this being a trap game with Miami on the backside of it. When I listened, first off, I have a little bit, and I don't mean in a weird way, but I have a man crush on Tony White, right? I just love this dude as a football coach, man. I could listen to his press conferences for hours because he is all freaking business, and I love it, man. But when I listened to the coordinators talk, I felt a lot better about this, right? Yeah. He said, Tony White talked about how UVA has one of the best offenses in the country, and the guys understand the challenge ahead. Says they know they better be a hell of a lot better this week than they were against Kent State because they had some busted assignments in that game. And so that's the words he said. And so I think the fact that he's all business and he knows, he made it sound like they know. He said, you know, this team doesn't get enough credit. Chandler Morris, the quarterback there, doesn't get enough credit. They're one of the best offenses, not just in the ACC, but nationally. And he said the guys know that. They understand that. So I don't think this team's going to look ahead to Miami. I think they know how important this game is. And then you heard Gus come up there. And you know, Gus press conferences are not like Tony White. They're about 6 minutes. He gives you about three words of word salad, and then he moves on, right? But he did say that beating up on lesser opponents is fun, but the real season starts now. And so I really, really do think that this team – they've been focused, and a lot of that's coach-led, a lot of that's player-led. You know, he talked about how – Tony White talked about how things weren't going great in the first half. They had some busted assignments against Kent State. And before he could even say anything going into the halftime in the locker room, the players were already talking about it. Yep. And so you have a player-led team and a coach-led team that is also very focused. And so, again, man, I know that Miami game's looming out there, but just hearing them talk about this game this week and understanding the team that Virginia is and the way they've looked so far this season, and, of course, we're going to talk about that here in a second, I do feel a lot better about them not looking past this team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think the coordinators, they get it. And I was really that, you know, the thing is like, right, we always feel like, oh, we shouldn't talk about Miami because that's looking ahead. And you have so kindly reminded me, as long as Florida State themselves are not looking
ahead, fans, buddy. They're not fans. Letting us suit up on Saturday.
Yeah,
I wish they would. I give you two plays for them. I'm puking.
You got
the
two
bench,
plays? But I got like half a play. You hit me one time, I'm good. I'm done. But
yeah, I'm in concussion protocol.
they bringing the card out for me.
Exactly.
So I really feel like these players and this coaching staff, they're not looking ahead. Because you know why? Because last year, what did they have to look ahead to? They weren't winning games. And I think a lot of that mentality has been instilled that the game in front of you is the most. Mike used to say this all the time, you know, in 23 and before, the game in front of you is the most important game. Now, I'm sure they've probably peaked a little bit ahead on their cell phones.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, that stuff. But really, when the focus has come, and here's what I love about this, and I'll throw this back to you, is we heard. You and I both heard, Jesse, the whispers come out of practice somewhere that during the last 3 weeks of these cupcake games in the bye week, they were already working on Virginia.
Yeah. Oh,
they
I'm sure.
They were already working on it. Right. And so like they're geared to go, you know? So when you hear these coordinators say those things, it's because they're confident in what the work they've put in.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that too is knowing that as big as that Miami game is, you're going to sweep the leg if you go up here and you lose to Virginia and lay an egg in Charlottesville. It's just not going to be as good. So, yeah, and I did say one thing about this after the Alabama game. I think almost more impressive than the actual win itself is the way they handled it, right? Yep. They were like, look, this is just game one game at a time. It was great that we won, but we have another game next week. And so it's a one-game season. So that does make me feel a lot better. Now, talking about going up to Charlottesville, guys, if you are going to be up that way and you're a Florida State fan, we are going to be – well, I'm going to be tailgating there in the west lot right there by the stadium, right on the west side of the stadium. Michael, this whole parking situation has turned into a nightmare with Virginia. This is not a serious football school. They should not be able to hold Friday games anymore. They're only opening the lots like an hour and 15 minutes before the gates open or something like that. You know, for all the crap people talk about the SEC, when I go down to Georgia, Florida every year, we tailgate for 2 days before the game. We get 2 hours before the game today. But nonetheless, we're going to be set up in the west lot there. We're going to be tailgating. I would love to have any of our listeners stop by. We already got about six of us that are going to be showing up. So we would love to have you guys join us there. But, Michael, there is also one other thing about this game that's going to be a little bit of a change for you guys here at PTS. Your boy's going to be in the press box for this game. And so I am super, super excited about that. If you've watched this channel for any amount of time, you know this is something that – you know, we've been working really hard. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and I have, you know, just we've had the door slammed in our face more times than I can tell you. So to finally have a door open and to get this opportunity, you know, I hope they lose on Friday night, but I do appreciate Virginia for giving me the opportunity. So man, make sure you guys are also following us on social media, because I'm gonna try and post some updates. You know, just my first experience can be your first experience. We'll be doing that on the social channel. So man, just really, really excited about that. We should get post game access for the coaches and the players. So make sure you lock in with us, guys, because this is gonna be a fun trip. I can't wait. First time ever being credentialed at a game, man. Just really, really excited about this one.
Well, let me just say, Jesse, congratulations to you. Like, you deserve this. I'm so excited when you texted me and said you got credentialed. I love it for you, man. I hope that it is the most wine and cheese experience you could ever have up in that press box, and your golf clapping to yourself, because you got to be, you know, very professional. But I hope it's just a great time. And you, I know you're going to represent PTS in the best way possible.
I appreciate that. And I also want to say thank you to those watching, right? Because without you guys, this would not be possible, right? Because when they do this, they look and they verify like who you are as an outlet. So if it wasn't for you guys, this would never be happening. So I do appreciate you guys a lot. And if you are watching this and you are a part of the PTS family and you're not subscribed, like Jalen Ramsey says, what is you doing?
What is you doing?
Hit the button. Obviously, you like Florida State content. It's free to subscribe. Doesn't cost you a thing. So lock in with us. You know, hit that notification bell so you don't miss an episode. Again, we appreciate you guys. But Michael, let's get into this game. We got a big game here to talk about. We're going to preview Virginia, kind of how this game's going to go, how we see it going. And so let's start with a game overview, right? Number 8, Florida State comes in 3-0 to face UVA, who is 3-1 on the season. But realistically, they are one play away from being 4-0. They threw a pick in the end zone against NC State, and it was pretty much kind of like where if he had just put the ball on the left side of the receiver instead of the right, it probably goes for a touchdown. And now we're probably talking about an undefeated, maybe even a ranked-on-ranked matchup, the way Virginia's been playing. So these are two pretty good teams, right? Their only loss was by one play at the end of the game there against NC State in Carter-Finley on the road. Game is, of course, at 7 p.m. at night on ESPN, going to be a nationally televised game. The spread on this game is pretty interesting, Michael, for a top 10 team going on the road against UVA. This line has actually moved. It has come down. We started at around 7.5, and depending on where you look, it's 7 all the way down to 6.5. So Florida State is, in, according to FanDuel, which is where I get most of my odds, you are less than a touchdown favorite on the road here. And that what do they know? Now, these spreads can be wrong a lot. Obviously, they were wrong against Alabama. We kind of flipped the spread on them there. The over-under is 59.5. Your implied score here is going to be, if you break that spread down, it would be 33-26. So kind of like a 34-24 type of game in that ballpark. Now, the series record, Florida State does own this series, right? 14-4, Florida State has the lead. But, Michael, UVA has won two of the past three and the last meeting in Charlottesville. We already hate non-Saturday games. And, Michael, if the juju wasn't bad enough,
come on,
this is also the 35th anniversary of when they handed FSU their first conference loss. And the only reason I mention that is because they're really kind of calling their shot on this one. Like, they're having a whole ceremony for that. They're wearing throwback 1995 throwback uniforms for this game. And so, really, man, I hope more than anything. And also keep in mind, gosh, I hate to keep throwing this on the fire. The last time UVA beat a top 10 in Scott Stadium was 2005 when they beat a top 5 FSU. So the juju is not on our side for sure. But what I'm hoping is maybe with them kind of do it, because when they put out the video about these uniforms, there was Florida State highlights in there. So hopefully Mike Norvell put that up as bulletin board material to kind of get the guys fired up this week. Because I hope this time, Michael, Florida State's bound to rewrite history. And as a top 10 team, we go act like a top 10 team, which – he was in anyway. Let's be honest. Right. He was in. Right. So neither here nor there. But man, a lot of bad gut feelings about this game. But hopefully this time it goes our way.
Well, now, Jesse, just real quick, I think it's the 30th anniversary of the not 35th.
Oh, is it?
Yes, okay, in 1995. Okay, yeah. So 30th anniversary. Gosh, I just even thinking about that. Florida State came into that game 29-0. And, you know, I don't know what Bobby was thinking. I don't know who was calling. I think he let Jeff Bowden call the plays that night.
Yeah.
Because they just throwing the ball for gosh knows why. All over the place. It just was a terrible day. And just, yeah, anyways. And here's the thing, too. You mentioned about them being an interception away from being basically undefeated. You know, we watched that game film of that. And you're right. If he puts that ball to the outside shoulder of that, because that running back was running what is called a rail route, which is just a little circle route up. If he puts it to the outside shoulder, they're undefeated. They're literally marching down. I mean, they went up and down, you know, for the most part, especially in the first half against NC State. And then NC State obviously, you know, came out in the second half, made some major adjustments. But that last drive there, they were one play away from being undefeated in this thing. Yeah. This could have been a top 25 matchup, as you said. Of course, going into Scott Stadium, FSU owns this record here. I mean, they're 15-4 there. They're 6-3 in Charlottesville. They're 6-3 at Scott Stadium. So they've done that. But the last, like you said, last five games, they're 3-2. They're 3-2 against this team, and the two losses have been right there in Scott Stadium. 2019, obviously Willie Taggart's the head coach. We don't need to talk about that, right?
We lost a lot of games then, so I don't even count them.
So the juju, as we like to say, is not necessarily on our side, but man, this is an opportunity for Florida State to go in there and handle business and turn that juju back around and get back into the winning column. You know, these are programs that I grew up believing, oh yeah, you never lose to them. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, and I will say, and this is not a dig at UVA, right? Because they're doing, I like Tony Elliott. He's a great guy.
Yes, great guy.
You know, they're doing things up there. But man, when your big celebration is the anniversary of a win, a one game win, not like the ACC championship,
a regular season,
not the national a regular season win, yeesh. And when you talk about this UVA program, right, they have only had four winning seasons in the past 20 years. So this is a program that you should not lose to. But we will say that this current team does look pretty good. And we did hear at ACC Media Days where some guys that we know from UVA talked about how they had a big investment in the offseason from some private donor where they were able to go take some NIL and go get, you know, up their facilities, go get some players. And this is, from what we've heard, this was the best and deepest team that Tony Elliott has had while he's there. Now, he is a good coach. He's just not really had a lot of success at UVA because it's not an easy place to win. Like we said, they don't really take football serious like everybody else. But, you know, again, man, I think when you look at the investment that they have made, if he can get a good season, maybe they can turn that thing around. But this is still not a program that you should go up there and lose to as a top 10 team.
Right.
But, you know, Michael, what is interesting in this game when we talk about coaching is there are two coaches in this game, two offensive coaches that have won a national championship as an OC that are going to be roaming the sidelines.
That's right.
So, I mean, Gus has one with Auburn and he has one with Clemson. So, I mean, this could be a fireworks show. It's going to be fun to watch. Now, the other thing is part of that 3-1 record, they have not lost at home, but they have also not played anybody good at home either. And that's the thing. So as we get into this preview, one of the things that I do want to say is, you know, we love to dig through the stats, and I already have. I have pages and pages of notes of stats that I'm just going to elaborate on in this one, because this early in the season, it's really hard to rely on raw stats, right? Because who have you played?
That's right.
How much of those stats were even your starters versus garbage time? How good are these other teams? You know, look at how many flowers we handed out for beating Clemson, and it turns out they're dumpster juice. So I mostly want to focus on the stats against the Power Four teams and the eye test, because we both watched this team play a couple of games.
Right.
Now, when we talk about these teams that you played, so Florida State has only faced one team with a pulse, right? But that was they had a bounding pulse. That was a very strong pulse. UVA has faced, I guess you might want to say, two teams with a pulse. One of them's kind of on life support if you're talking about Stanford. The other one's just, you know,
it's
not
a weak
not doing
pulse.
Great. Exactly. It's not doing too well. And so, you know, for me, when I go into this, UVA is much better than what we've seen the past two games as far as team-wise. They are much better than East Texas A&M. They are much better than Kent State. But on the flip side of that, Florida State will also be UVA's biggest test by far.
Yep.
I mean, neither one of these teams has played a quote-unquote tough schedule from top to bottom, right? Not in every single game. They played a G5 team and an FCS team as well. But FSU has certainly had the tougher test facing Alabama versus UVA facing NC State. And for example, what I mean by this, obviously you guys know what I mean by this, but to put it in perspective, we already talked about this. I know point spreads are not always the best measuring stick,
right?
But Alabama goes on the road to Athens to take on number 5 Georgia on Saturday, and they're only a 2.5-point dog in Athens to the number 5 team, a place where Georgia has not lost in 33 games. Yeesh. Now, NC State, on the flip side, UVA's biggest test, is a 10.5-point favorite over 1-3 Virginia Tech with an interim staff at home. That's a huge difference. Like, Alabama would probably be a 30-point favorite over Virginia Tech. Stanford, their second biggest test, is a 2.5-point favorite at home against 1-2 San Jose State. Yeah. So they may have played more Power Four teams, but the one that you played is miles ahead. That test is miles ahead. This is like a spelling bee versus the SAT, right? Florida State has faced a much bigger test. So that's what we're kind of going to focus on today, the test that you've had. But just keep in mind when we talk about this, obviously, you guys know Florida State has faced a much better test. So the numbers may look better for Virginia, but just keep in mind who those numbers came against.
Well, yeah, I would just say quickly, I'm going to throw this right back to you so we can get into it. It's basically you take NC State and you take Stanford, you put them together, and that's maybe a third of Alabama, right, as far as talent perspective is concerned. So I would say that what Florida State has faced in Alabama – they've succeeded in what Virginia has faced with Stanford and NC State.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about it like this, every player on Alabama's roster would probably start at either one of those programs. Probably zero. They wouldn't even take the water boy off those two teams. I highly doubt because Alabama's got 5-star water boys. But Michael, before we jump into this, let's first bring a word from today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. We've been rocking with these guys for years here. They got all the great FSU gear that you want from head to toe for the whole family. They'll get you right for game day. Look, that I know, you know, this is an away game, but that big home game next week, you might want to get some new gear for that. If you're in Tallahassee for that one, 1415 Timberlane Road is the location, or you can shop online at alumnihall.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you and save 10% by using code SPEAR. You can use that online or in store. So we appreciate you guys supporting those who support us and for Alumni Hall supporting us. So, Michael, let's jump into this game here. Let's first talk about the schedule and the road that UVA has taken to get here. Now, we kind of already talked about this a little bit, but game one, they come out against Coastal Carolina. They're 3-1, 1-1 in the ACC. They beat Coastal Carolina 48-7. Not a whole lot to say about that one. Game two, they lose to NC State 35-31 on the road. Then they smack an FCS team 55-16. And then they beat Stanford last week, blew their doors off 48-20. But I'm going to skip over the games that don't really matter because they don't prove anything. But let's spend a second and talk about that NC State game and that Stanford game and what we saw. So in that NC State game, this offense is pretty good, right? UVA put up over 500 yards in that game. Chandler Morris put up over 300 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. UVA rushed for 257 yards against the Wolfpack. Now, I want to at least say this. NC State's defense, they lost their defensive coordinator this year. He went and took a head coaching job. They went away from the 3-3-5. They brought in a new guy, a 4-2-5. That defense is a shell of itself, what it has been. They have given up 400 yards in three of their four, more than 400 yards in three of their four games, right? And they have not all been world-beater teams. They play like Wake Forest and teams like that. So, but the one thing I will say about UVA rushing for 257 is 108 of that came on two plays. So a lot of that was explosive there. But NC State still put up 400 yards on UVA's defense and rushed for over 200 yards. One notable thing about that game, CJ Bailey, who is a mobile quarterback, did have two rushing touchdowns in that game. So this is something where you would expect Florida State's mobile quarterback to also be able to hit them as well against this defense. But man, I mean, they put up over 200 yards. That's what Florida State wants to do. But you also are going to have to limit UVA on the ground because they did put up 257 there. And the last thing I'll say before I kick it to you here is one thing about UVA. I'm glad Florida State has kind of rested their starters a little bit the last couple weeks. Yeah. I'm glad they built some depth because UVA will use tempo sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. They ran 45 plays in the first half against NC State. So they will wear you down with that offense. So, man, that's my takeaways from NC State. So let me hear what you got on them.
Yeah, like, you know, when I watched the tape back against this NC State game, you know, there are a couple things that I noticed. One, this offense is going to move. I mean, they average about 70 plays, offensive play calls per game. Yeah. That's what they're averaging right now. So they're going to try to go. They're going to try to move. One of the things that actually gives me confidence but also worries me is you're going to see a similar set of offensive play call, meaning you're going to see a lot of similar things that you already see in your own team in Florida State, right? You're going to see a lot of motion. You're going to see a lot of motion, a lot of misdirection, right? They're going to try to get the ball out to their speed guys, and we'll talk about that in a second, to try to get people confused and everything. They're going to run some counters. They're going to run unbalanced lines. I saw several of that happening as well, too. They're trying to get up and down the field. And I thought NC State in the first half was not very good at identifying that. There's also some other things that we'll get to in a second. But then in the second half, they did a better job of identifying that, and they were able to slow down Virginia, basically holding them practically score 7 points in the second half, if I remember that correctly. You correct me, Jesse, if I'm wrong there. So I think that's a big part of it too. But then also, one of the things I saw from the offensive perspective is they might seem fast, but when you put them up against an actual athletic defense, they're not as fast as you will think. And when we talk about the defense, I'm going to say the same thing there too as well. Like it was glaring how what I felt like was slow. It was glaring what I saw on the offensive line, even their get off on the snap. Like the ball would be snapped and there'd still be offensive linemen, not because of a trick play, not because somebody jumped outside, just because their get off is just slow. And so I think that plays to Florida State's advantage. Now, where it can hurt Florida State often defensively is, man, they will run plays. They will go.
Yeah.
And they'll set you up. They're very much like Gus Malzahn. They will try to set you up for something that they've been kind of, you know, two or three yard, and then boom, they're going to try to hit you on the top there. I just thought that NC State made great adjustments in the second half, which then allowed them to get back in the game. And basically, outside of that one game-ending drive where they basically had the chance to win the game in the red zone, I mean, they couldn't do anything in the second half, really.
Yeah, you're right. They did only score one time in the second half. And so I also have, when we get to personnel, I have some thoughts. Yeah, because I'm gonna tell you on that offensive line. Because I'm gonna tell you what, buddy. I watched that NC State game, and their right tackle number 68 had himself a rough day. They might have made him walk home after that one. But talking about this Stanford game, the next game here again, we're gonna focus mostly on that NC State game because Stanford, they're not very good either.
Yeah.
But UVA put up almost 600 yards on Stanford. And for reference, Stanford, as bad as they are, and not really played a whole lot of good teams this year, they have not given up over 400 yards of offense this season. So for UVA to go hang 600 on them, basically 600, that was kind of doing something there. They threw for 384 yards, rushed for 210. Chandler Morris went off in this game. He had 400 all-purpose yards and 5 total touchdowns. UVA, like you said with NC State, man, they start fast. They put up 400 yards and 28 points in the first half against Stanford. Now, on the flip side of that, Stanford did put up 323 yards, 286 through the air. So they torched that secondary. And we're going to talk about that secondary a little bit later. They did hold them to 37 yards rushing, which was 84 sack adjusted yards. UVA did give up 5.35 yards per play to a bad offense. But I think the takeaway from those two games, Michael, is their offense has been really good against really bad defenses.
Yep.
And their defense has been suspect against one decent offense and one bad offense when you look at just the Power Four opponents. So that's the thing is you kind of have to adjust for the competition. But the offense looks good. They just have not played a defense like Florida State yet. Now, again, we're going to talk about that going forward. But, yeah, I mean, they smashed Stanford. But I also look at they gave up 20 points to Stanford. And Stanford missed a field goal in that game. So they could have easily gave up 23 points. And that offense is miles behind where Florida State is. So that kind of makes you feel like Florida State can, if this becomes a shootout, you should be able to hang with them. But yeah, man, I mean, they smack Stanford, but Stanford's just a terrible team.
Oof. Yeah, Stanford, I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, even though Stanford is a P4 program, because
they are a P4 because they're the P4.
That's good. I like that. They are. Yeah. So even though they're a P4 program, they really, honestly, you could have treated them like a super low level FBS G5 school. I mean, that's the type of players they have right now.
They lost to Hawaii.
they lost to Hawaii. And no offense to Stanford, I like you, you know, Andrew Luck there, but like they don't have the type of players. Really, the game against NC State is probably a better indicator. I like how you said, like, a decent team. Basically, they could have done whatever they wanted against Stanford, right?
Yeah.
But something of note here that I don't know if you picked up on, Jesse, they ran the ball 42 times against Stanford for 206 yards, okay? That's 4.9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
That tells me something. That tells me that, yes, they were able to get 200 yards, but they struggled in some ways to run the ball. They only had one rushing touchdown in that game, right? The other five came from passing, right? So there was something there in that that I think that Stanford's defense may be exposed, but over time they just got worn out, and then, you know, you get the carries there too as well too. But they could have done whatever they wanted against Stanford through the air. I mean, Chandler Morris had a day. I started watching that after the first quarter. I was like, all right, I've seen enough.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This ain't going to tell me much of that game.
Yeah, and UVA missed a field goal too. So they were one missed field goal away from feeding him a 50 burger. So, yeah. I mean, but when we talk about the UVA offense versus the FSU defense, so let's talk about that UVA offense first and foremost, because it is the one thing that kind of keeps you up at night when you talk about this Virginia team. This is a shotgun spread offense. They will occasionally use some pistol formation. They don't really do good out of the pistol. From what I watched, most of those plays didn't work out too well. As you hinted at, man, they used a lot of jet motion versus NC State. They like the fake, the jet sweep. Didn't see a lot of it against Stanford, but maybe they didn't really have to do that type of stuff. As I said before, they do use tempo, but not all the time. There are times where they really hurry up, and there's times where the play clock gets, you know, down to 4-3-2-1, and they're just now snapping it. They are an offense that takes what the defense gives them. They like to find space. They like to attack soft spots in the coverage. Yep. But they do take some shots downfield. It's not a lot, like way downfield, but they do push the ball vertically. They also run the ball well, which draws the defense up and allows them to take those shots. That's something that Tony White talked about the difficulties of defending an offense like this. Yep. And when you look at their passing chart, so 57% of their throws are for under 10 yards or less, either behind the line of scrimmage or 0 to 9 yards. So most of the stuff is just finding holes in space, getting the ball out fast. That's what they really like to do. And Chandler Morris is very great at commanding this offense and distributing the ball. But where he really makes his hay is 32% of his throws are between 10 and 19 yards. And when I say push the ball down the field, it's typically in that 10 to 19 yard range, because only 10% of their passes are over 20 yards. The problem with that is right now Chandler Morris is top 10 in completion percentage on throws over 20 yards. So when they do try and stretch the field, they're pretty effective at doing it. And when you talk about Chandler Morris, he gets it out quick. He distributes the ball well. That's part of the reason why he's only taken one sack. And technically that sack was on a scramble that he should have thrown it away, and he didn't. Tony Elliott even said that's on the quarterback, not on the offensive line. But before that game, he had no sacks in the first 3.5 games. And he can move, right? He's not Tommy Castellanos, but he can avoid pressure. He can turn a busted play into something, or he can break off a run in space if you lose contain on him. So, man, this is an offense that they can hurt you in a lot of ways, right? You have a mobile quarterback. Now, this is not unrealistic, right? Florida State has seen Ty Simpson. He's a little bit mobile too. But this is an offense that can hurt you in multiple ways. They can run the ball well. They can throw the ball. They can spread you out and throw it horizontally, or they can stretch the field vertically. So, I mean, this is – Florida State's going to have to pack its lunch when they take on this UVA offense, because, you know, it's not a one-dimensional offense by any means. They have a lot of different ways that they can take advantage if you slip up and make a mistake.
Yeah, listen, this they don't mess around. They're trying to score points, and they're going to try to do it all the ways. This kind of is reminiscent. If you go back and watch Tony Elliott at Clemson, like you're going to see some similarities to what he was running at Clemson to what he finally feels like he has the quarterback to run here now. So I think Chandler Morris has been a great addition for him, because he feels like he's finally got the trigger, man. And we got a chance, both you and I and our friends over who cover Virginia, got a chance to talk to Chandler during the ACC media days. Seemed like a really incredible dude, you know, with his head on his shoulder, loves the Lord and all that stuff. But also, man, the dude's dynamic. He has the ability to scramble. He has the ability to extend plays. and watching that NC State game, I mean, I kept saying to myself, gosh, he's got some great footwork. I mean, he just could move around in the pocket there. He could keep his eyes down the field there. He could also scramble. Now, I will also tell you that he's going to make some errant throws. I saw a couple throws in the game that reminded me of what Ty Simpson did, where he's like, bro, if you would have just ran that, that's the first down.
Yeah.
But you threw the ball and didn't know what you were trying to connect to. He will put the ball in danger. I'm going to just tell you that. He only has one interception on the season, they only have one interception on the season. I don't know if it was him.
It was the backup.
Okay. But I definitely saw multiple times in that NC State game, he will put the ball in danger. There are multiple times that NC State could have and should have intercepted those passes, but he didn't. So Florida State will have to take advantage of that as well. And here's a key thing, and I texted this to you yesterday, Jesse, is that
it was him that threw the pick.
It was. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So he will put it in danger. And here's a key stat about a Tony Elliott offense at Virginia. They have to try to rush for over 150 yards per game. Because if they do not rush for 150 yards per game, they are 2-22 in his time there when they rush for less than 150 yards. So like when we get to the keys of the game, I'm just telling you now, one of my keys to the game is that Florida State's defense has got to try to hold them under 150 yards rushing. Whatever we got to do, we've got to shut down the rushing. Because when they don't, they could throw for all the yards they want to. But when they don't run for 150 yards or more, they don't win very often.
Yeah, and I love it because, you know, I'm typically the stat guy, right? But look at you coming off the top rope. But that's something that I said with Alabama, right?
Yep.
All four games they lost last year, they failed to rush for 100 yards. Guess what they didn't do against Florida State? Rush for 100 yards and they lost. So there's meat to that, right? There's stuff to that. But let's spend a minute and before we finish on the offense, let's talk about the quarterback for a second. Let's do a passer profile here. So Chandler Morris is a six-year senior, 6 foot, 192, not a huge guy, formerly of OU, TCU, and North Texas, which was an air raid offense. So he's a gunslinger.
Yep.
You know, this is a guy that was recruited by Lincoln Riley out of high school. And, you know, he's done pretty fairly well with quarterbacks. He started 29 games in his career. So he's played a lot of college football, and he's playing at a high level right now. Just some of the highlights. He currently has over a 70% completion percentage. He's one of only 25 FBS quarterbacks that have already thrown for over 1,000 yards. He's thrown 8 touchdowns with only one pick. He's averaging 9.1 yards per carry with a touchdown on the ground. He's top 25 in PFF pass grade, completion percentage, pass touchdowns, pass yards, and QBR. I mean, the kid's balling right now. Yeah, but again, keep in mind the defenses that he's faced. He's faced so far the 120th and 133rd ranked pass defenses in those two Power Four opponents. He's also had 32 pressures and only one sack. So he's really good. He's really good at avoiding pressure. Now, the thing about him is, Michael, like you said, he's not always been perfect. And I have something that I'm gonna talk about here later where he has made some mistakes in the past. But man, I mean, the kid's doing really well, right? He's playing really well for Virginia. He's an experienced guy. And when you talk about the pieces around him, right, he does have some pieces. It's not like the Alabama offense with Ryan Williams and all this stuff and Jeremy Bernard and all that, but they got some pieces, right? The wide receivers that you need to know about. Number 11, Trail Harris, leads in yards with 321 and leads with touchdowns with 3. He's got an 81.8% reception percentage, 17.8 yards per catch. And I think he only has one drop on like 20-something targets. So, I mean, he's a sure-handed receiver. He's a little bit speedy. He is definitely their best guy, right? But also number 6, Cam Ross, who primarily works out of the slot. Yep. He leads the team in receptions with 19, 252 yards, 1 touchdown, also a good reception percentage. Those two guys are pretty dynamic, right? I don't think they're better than what Alabama brought. But two other names you probably want to know. Number 7, Jamal Edrime.
Yeah.
He's not the most productive guy, but he is 6'3", 221. So he does give them size on the outside. And then tight end Sage Ennis, which is a Clemson transfer, has only had 4 receptions. 2 of them have been for touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
So if you get in the red zone, you better watch out for that guy. So this is not a receiving core that scares you when you saw what Florida State was able to do against Alabama. But they do have some nice pieces that, you know, you saw – Kent State bust a 75-yard touchdown pass on you last week. So you can't let these guys get loose in space or they will hurt you. But again, it's not better than what Alabama brought, but they can hurt you if you make a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm watching the game, especially against NC State. That number six kid, is it Ross? Is that what you said? Is his name?
Cam Ross.
Yeah, Cam Ross.
He's also a really good returner too. So he's watch out for him as well.
He's got a little bit of speed on him, right? And so if you lose him, you're not going to be able to, or well, I mean, not that you can't get him, but it's just going to be difficult. He's going to be the guy. Typically, he's been the first target that that Chandler's looking for. When you went back and watched the NC State game, he would always his eyes would be where Ross was, and then if he wasn't there, then he's moving everywhere else. So he seems to be the number one target. He also has the most catches, 19 catches for 252 yards. He's averaging 13.3 yards a catch, right? A reception there with one touchdown. So that's kind of the guy. Remember when we talked about against Alabama, we said, you got to shut down Ryan Williams. You're going to let the Bernard kid kind of do his thing. But Ryan Williams is the one that can game change. Well, this is the guy that can game change for you. So you want to make sure you get your best, you know, maybe Jerry. It's so weird calling him Jerry. But maybe, maybe Jerry Wilson is the guy that's kind of on him for a while until you can see, you know, what that looks like there and how that gets there. And the other thing, this too. One of the things about UVA's offense is they're going to run a lot of what we call mesh routes. Okay. And mesh routes are basically where you have two receivers and they're kind of coming against each other. And the idea is to run so close that the defenders get confused, right?
It's a natural pick play.
It's a natural pick play, right? Now they do it really well. I went back and watched the film several times on this, especially against NC State. They'll do this thing, Jesse, where they are running towards a defender and they kind of put their hands up like they're going to block. And then they just turn when that person gets very close to them so that they don't get called for the offensive pass interference. They're really good at it. And there were, I think I counted four or five times where they clearly did it well enough that a guy got wide open. And Chandler, you know, I think he made the throw twice to the wide open guy and three times he missed the wide open guy. So this is something Florida State's going to play. Now, if this was Adam Fuller's defense, Jesse, I'd be really worried about this.
Yeah.
But in Tony White's 3-3-5, they play a little bit more zone coverage. And in this zone coverage, you're going to be able to communicate that well. And I'm sure they've been talking about this all the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And when you look at the backfield, their running back's pretty nice.
Oh,
right?
That boy hits you.
Number three, Jamari Taylor, 5'9", 204. So kind of a short but thick back. He runs hard. He seeks contact and he falls forward. Like there was one, I think, against Stanford or NC State where he saw the defender, lowered his shoulder and just trucked the guy. Yeah. Didn't even try to go around him. So like he's a hard running back, 48 attempts, 298 yards on the season, 6.21 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns so far. He's averaging 7.25 yards per carry against the Power 4 defenses. So he's a nice back, man, and he did put up 150 yards on NC State, so he's a good runner. And then also when you look at this offensive line, it all starts up front when you're talking about the run game.
Yep.
This offensive line is – they're good, but they're not great, right? It's not Alabama's offensive line. We also don't know how they're going to be as far as injury-wise. But, man, I mean, pass block efficiency, they're ranked 21st. Sacks allowed, they're ranked 2nd because they've only given up 1. Rush yards per carry, 5.95, which is top 20 in the country. So it's a decent offensive line. Just keep in mind the fronts that you face to get to those numbers. Now, one thing that I did notice, not only through stats but also watching film, and I would hope that if a podcaster can pick this up, a defensive coordinator or analyst could pick this up, the right side of that offensive line is considerably worse than the left side of the offensive line. They have allowed 9 pressures to 0. This is the right guard and right tackle versus left guard and left tackle. They've allowed 9 pressures to 0. They have worse PFF grades. They've had more penalties. And UVA knows that too, because when I looked up their run plays, they have run the ball 30 more times to the left than they have the right. So that's
White real quick?
hey, Tony, I'm just letting you know, right? I just found it, right? So I did notice that. And like I said, man, the offensive line is not bad. If they're down there starting center, like that's even if he's there and he's not healthy, you have to block 6'6", 370 Daryl Jackson with a bad calf.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say is if the right tackle number 68 is playing, that's going to be food for a defensive end, because that boy was a turnstile. He had, you know, we joke about the lookout blocks. He had a lot of lookout blocks against NC State because they ate his lunch.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm laughing just because, and I'm trying not to. I feel so bad, but that 68, I was just like, is that boy blocking air? What is he thinking?
Yeah, Buddy had a tough game, man.
Buddy had a tough game against NC State, and that stat about them running 30 more times to the left side, that's huge. Yeah. Because that is what it's called, a tendency. And knowing Tony White, his analysts, they've probably found it, and so they're gonna try to make sure they create. They're going to anticipate that, but then also, you know, because football coaches are smart, they're not dumb. They and the smart ones will look at their tendencies and say, okay, what tendency breakers do we need to do? I don't know if you're trying to run to the right side on this one.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that right side ain't very good. And it's not even just the fact of, like, you know, bad scheming. It's literally like just skill. I mean,
right.
They come, like I said earlier, they come out of their stance late sometimes. They're not sure who to block. I don't know if the communication is great. There's some place where they have great communication. NC State tried a couple twists and stunts, you know, where they have a guy rush this way and then come back around the other way that they were able to pick up. But a lot of times, man, if it wasn't for Chandler being able to move really well in the pocket, he would have been sacked a lot more against NC State, because that right side of the line it's scary. You know,
yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when James Blackman was playing for Florida State and the dude would get killed by the left side. That's how bad this line is.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you talk about Chandler Morris, like, he is the heart of the engine of this offense, right? Yeah. He makes the receivers better. He makes the offensive line better. And so, really, it's going to come down to what you can do against him. But a couple more final thoughts on the offense here before we switch over to defense. It is a top 20 passing offense. It is a top 20 rushing offense. They've also been pretty good on third downs. They're 12th in the country, converting at 57.6%. In the red zone, they are 90th, but it's kind of a compact number. They've scored on 21 of 26 attempts, 15 touchdowns, 6 field goals. So they haven't really been super efficient in the red zone. Explosive plays, they put up 28 explosive plays, which is 7th in the country so far, and 19 of those came by pass. So again, that passing offense is where they can really hurt you. Now, as I said, we're going to adjust for the Power Four, right? I think they're averaging 45.5 points per game. Yeah. I don't care what you did against William and Mary. Again, like Bobby always said, if you had more Williams and less Marys, maybe you'd be better at football. Shout out, Bobby. Rest in peace. But UVA points per game here is, against Power Four opponents, is 39.5 points. So they put up some points against the Power Four teams that they play. But again, keep in mind, UVA has also faced the 107th and 110th ranked scoring defenses from their Power Four opponents.
Right.
Florida State is allowing against Alabama, because we only have one Power Four opponent to use, you've allowed 17 points, and that is the 18th ranked scoring offense. So in case you just forgot what I said, they haven't played many good defenses. Florida State has played a really great offense, right? Not, I won't say great, but they're top 20 offense in Alabama. I mean, UVA is currently putting up 7.4 yards per play against Power Four defenses. That's some pretty good numbers, but those defenses were terrible. Florida State held Alabama, a top 20 offense, to 4.7 yards per play. So this is, again, going to be a really big challenge. And Alabama averaged 8.7 yards per play against Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin is not great, but their defense is currently ranked better than NC State and Stanford. So you just kind of hear the numbers and you see what Florida State has done against that Alabama offense. It's going to pose a really big challenge for Virginia that they have not faced yet. And so, Michael, to me, as I close out the offense here with some final thoughts, and I have a couple questions here, is the question becomes, which offense do you think is better? Alabama in week one on the road, down their starting running back, or UVA at home in week five, possibly with some offensive line issues? And so, for me, depending on how you answer that, you'd think Florida State could hold them to under 20 if you think Bama's the better offense in game one. If not, and you think, okay, UVA's got five games, they're in sync, they've done these things right, how much better do you think they are? Maybe a touchdown at best, right? I don't think a whole lot. So in theory, when you look at the numbers, you would think Florida State should be able to hold them to probably 24 or less points. And if you can do that with their defense, I think you can be in a pretty good place at the end of the game. So, you know, again, man, like I said, it just comes down to the question of which offense do you think is better? in the situation that you played them. And I would say week five versus week one, UVA's offense is probably sneaking up on where Bama was in week one, just with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, Ty Simpson's first start on the road in a loud Doak Campbell Stadium. They had the offensive line issues. They had the running back out. But I don't think they're more than about a touchdown better than they were in that game, because the talent is uncomparable between the two. So if they held Alabama to under 20, I think they should easily be able to hold Virginia under 30, under 24, maybe even under 20 points when you look at just the disparity there.
Yeah, and the thing I look at is this, you know, I would agree with you. Like, when you look at Virginia's offense and you think, okay, well, if you account for them playing, you know, if you take out William Mayer and Coastal Carolina, so you just look at NC State and you look at Stanford, you look at the scale of players on that defensive side, that basically they've played two of the worst defenses in the country so far in the season. Then you look at Florida State's defense and going up against Alabama with all of its skill set, one of the, you know, best offensive lines in the country, draft picks all over, right? You got wide, you got what was arguably the best wide receiving core in the country. Yes, they were down their star running back, but let's be real. Alabama's got stables of five-star running backs in the back, exactly, right? Ty Simpson was a five-star quarterback who waited behind his time, right? He played actually a pretty, you know, decent game in that game.
Right.
And you were able to hold, you know, probably what will likely, depending on what we see this Saturday against Georgia, one of the best teams in the country to 17 points. Listen, I don't think Virginia could hold Alabama's jockstrap, right? So
yeah.
I think Alabama's a better offense. I think you should be able to see Florida State hold Virginia to 24 points or less, for sure. And then the other thing, too, is that their offense, Virginia's offense, is predicated on getting first downs. I mean,
yeah.
And so Florida State has to be very diligent about that. And against Alabama, they were very good about forcing Alabama into these third downs and fourth downs all the time. Like, they weren't just consistently getting first downs. Florida State's been really good about keeping Alabama out of first down situations as much as possible. They're going to have to be good about that again. Here's why. Because Virginia is eighth in the country, eighth in first downs. They have 106 first downs on the season. They average 26 first downs per game. And why is that important? Because at Virginia, under head coach Tony Elliott, they are 7-22 when they get less than 25 first downs a game. 7-22. Now they're 8-5, which is good when they get 25 or more first downs. So it's going to be imperative that Florida State is getting Virginia in third and long situations. And then when they go for it on fourth down, that they're able to stop them on fourth down, because that is what's going to be a key cog in this offense.
Yeah, holding them under the first downs, and then what you said with the rushing yards, that's going to be big. So, Michael, to close the offense out, I got three questions that I ask myself when I look at what Florida State can do to win this game, you know, defensively against that offense, what they can do to have success. Can FSU pressure Chandler Morris without losing contain? He's been pressured 32 times. He's only taken one sack, and he is averaging 9.1 yards per carry. Over half of his yards have come on scrambles. So, again, you need to get pressure. You cannot let him sit back there and pick you apart, because he's a good thrower of the football. Right. But you also can't lose contain, because then he can hurt you with his legs and he can make busted plays into something. Now, Florida State did get 19 pressures and three sacks on Ty Simpson, who is also a mobile guy, probably pretty comparable to what you're going to see here from Chandler Morris. They also held him to 32 yards on scrambles, that sack adjusted. So this isn't something that's necessarily new to them, right? Now, the second question I have is, can they limit the run without getting torched by the pass? They rushed for over 200 yards against NC State and Stanford. And as you mentioned, 2-22 when held under 150 yards rushing under Tony Elliott, and 13-5 when they topped that number. That's going to be another big one. And remember, Florida State did hold Alabama, what we consider as good or better offense, to 87 rushing yards. And they were supposed to have one of the best offensive lines in the country, not kind of a banged up musical chairs type of offensive line there. And then the last question I have here is, can they create turnovers against a team that has only committed one turnover with their starters in the game? That's going to be big, because Tony White talked about it. We need to get takeaways to get the ball back to our offense. Now, here's another thing about Chandler Morris. He has been nails this year at UVA. But when you look back to the past 2 years, 2023 and 2024, at TCU and North Texas, in 19 games, he had 7 games with double-digit turnovers, and 6 of them were double-digit interception games. So he's been great this year, but he's been prone to turnovers in the past. So those are three big questions that I have for Florida State to have success against this offense. And, man, I'll let you give me some thoughts, and then we'll talk about the Florida State offense versus the UVA defense.
Yeah, I just think that, man, those are great questions. Like, can you know, because in the NC State game, you didn't see him scramble a lot in that game. I mean, he hung out in the pocket more often than that. I mean, he did kind of, you know, when the pocket broke down, he'd move, you know, from side to side, but he didn't really like scramble a lot towards the line of scrimmage. Now, there was one big one at the end where they were trying to drive to win the game where it was on a read and he took it, and man, you know, thank goodness for the safety back there, because or else he gets in and they probably win that game. But he took it for like 50 or 60 yards, something like that, on a read option there. So he could move. So it's going to be imperative on this defense to make sure that as they're rushing up the field, that they're keeping their eyes up to make sure that, that they're keeping contained. And I trust that Tony White will have some schemes and games that they're playing with that defensive line, that even though they're blitzing certain different ways, or not blitzing, but they're running their games, that they're going to still have some contained for him, probably push him up in the pocket, which then allows the linebacker to get there as well too.
Yeah. And I mean, Florida State really didn't bring a ton of pressure the last two games. And so that's why the sack number, I've been a little bit disappointed in the sack numbers, but I just don't think they had to bring pressure. And I think they might do that in this game. So Michael, it is almost dinner time. So let's talk about some food here, the UVA defense, because it looks like this might be a treat for us. So this is going to be where we talk about the Florida State offense versus the UVA defense. Now, UVA defense, 4-2-5, a lot of two high safety looks. Defensive line isn't bad, but they're not good either, right? It's not like Alabama's defensive line. They got some size. I think they're both of their nose tackles or the defensive tackles are above 300 pounds. So they got a little bit of size up front there. But when you look at the defense as a whole, right, first off, their secondary is not good. It is a glaring weakness of this team. They give up a lot of space and coverage. They've given up a lot of busted coverage. They gave up a couple long passes against Stanford. They gave up a couple long passes against William and Mary on busted coverages. The defense, and I don't mean this is disrespectful to UVA, but when you watch Florida State versus Alabama and then you watch UVA, the defense does look kind of small, right? And they don't look that fast. And so I think they're going to have a lot of trouble matching Florida State's speed. So again, when you talk about this defense, man, it's just not, it's been by far the weaker side of the ball, right? And I think Florida State has a real opportunity against this defense. And right now versus Power Four opponents, adjusted again for taking out the bad games, they have allowed 27.5 points per game. Now, if we just thought that Florida State's offense is as good or better than those other teams that they played, and we think you can hold them under 24, and they've already given up 27.5, well, that kind of equals, I'm no mathematician, but that sounds like a win right there. Now, they have faced the 63rd and 118th ranked scoring offenses from the Power Four. For reference, Kent State is also tied for 118th in scoring offense, and they are a bad G5 team that has faced Florida State and Texas Tech. Stanford has faced teams they should compete with, like Hawaii and things like that. So Stanford's offense is bad, bad. So when you look at what this defense has done, it's not even really been against good offenses either. And Florida State against, you know, the 27th ranked scoring defense in Alabama, they put up 31 points, you know, and they also, Bama, they put up 38 on Wisconsin, who has a better scoring defense than NC State, Stanford, and UVA. So again, man, you just look at the numbers and you look at that defense and you can see an opportunity for Florida State to pop well over 30 points in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the thing that stands out to me though is, man, watching the game film, sorry to laugh. I'm so sorry, Virginia fans. I'm so sorry. But man, I was watching this game film, and NC State is just running roughshod everywhere and anywhere. They're getting whatever they want. I mean, there was one throw where the quarterback, I can't think of what his name is, he throws
CJ Bailey.
CJ Bailey. Now they're running what is called the level route. So they got a guy that's kind of running and doing this, and then they got a guy that's coming on top to do a little more, right? So a little level route, right? The corner is just kind of standing there. The ball is right there. And he just watches it. He's like,
oh, that was a good catch, buddy. Oh, congratulations.
Great job. Success. Right? Like, it was like, what are you guys doing? And remember earlier we talked about slow? They are slow.
Yeah.
I mean, just slow. And then And here's the thing about small. What I was going to say is their defensive line is small. Their defensive line is small. And you can be small when you're athletic, because then you got great twitch. You can beat, you know, you can get around them. It's not that.
Neither. Yeah.
It's neither. And now NC State's offensive line wasn't the greatest. And so Virginia had some success against them. But man, I saw when the ball was hiked, not only Virginia's offensive line wasn't getting off the ball, but then the defensive line wasn't getting off the ball. And then if NC State's offensive line actually got a good, you know, like snap, they were whitewashed. I mean, he had all time. He had so much time in the pocket to throw the ball, to move around, to check. I mean, I kept counting on several different plays. I got almost up to 5 Mississippis, you know, and you're really in football, you're only supposed to get maybe 3 if you're decent enough to get to 5 Mississippis and not have to move around. So they're slow. Now they're scrappy. They're going to play hard. I will tell you that.
Oh yeah.
They're fourth in the nation. Fourth in the nation on third down. They're only giving up 20.8% on third downs, right? So that's 48 third downs. They're only giving up 10 third down conversions on the season. So they're scrappy. Florida State's going to actually have to make sure that they're buttoned up and they're running their operation. But if they are, gosh, if that offensive line just gives 1 ounce of care about blowing that defensive line out, Tommy should have practically all day to read the field.
Yeah, and one of the things I saw with the DBs in that NC State game is, like, they wait till the receiver is in their face to flip their hips and go, and then they're not fast enough. And if you do that against Squirrel White, it's over. If you do that against Mekhi Dansey, it's over. That's straight to the limo.
Yeah.
But when, again, talking about this defense, they are right now allowing 6.3 yards per play versus Power 4 offenses. They gave up 7.17 yards per play against NC State and 5.35 against Stanford, who is terrible. Florida State versus Bama, a much better defense, put up 6.1 yards per play. And that same defense held Wisconsin to 4.1 yards per play and 10 points. Now, Wisconsin's offense is not good, but it's better than Stanford's that put up 20 on UVA. So, man, I just think there's a lot of opportunity against this defense. I think you should win the battle in the trenches for sure. And then when you talk about pressure, they did bring pressure about 35% of the time against NC State and Stanford. They created 11 pressures versus NC State and 9 versus Stanford. Keep in mind, Florida State got 19 on Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, they did sack Stanford 5 times, right? But Stanford is also 112th in sacks allowed. They're just a terrible team altogether. They got 0 sacks on NC State and only 1 on Coastal Carolina. So if your offensive line comes to play with a mobile quarterback, Tommy's jersey should be clean in this game, unless he's just sliding after running for a bunch of stuff. They only have 1 interception in 4 games, so that's good too. They do have 3 fumbles recoveries as well. But like you said, man, they've also been really good on third downs. They held NC State to 1 of 7, but Stanford did convert 6 of 14, about 40-something% there. So, you know, hopefully you can have better success there. Red zone defense, they've given up scores on 7 of 8 drives, 6 touchdowns, 1 field goal, so they've not been good in the red zone. Florida State's offense, on the other hand, has scored on 15 of 16 drives in the red zone with 14 touchdowns and 1 field goal. So that could be the difference in the game there. Now, Michael, the couple of questions that I have for the defense here is, can Tommy Castellanos exercise his demons from the past against UVA? Because he's not a stranger to this team. He's played them a couple times before. In 2024, depending on where you look, I've seen different numbers depending on PFF or whatnot. In 2024, he committed 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles, and was sacked 4 times. In 2023, he committed 3 turnovers, 2 picks, and a fumble. So either way, he's committed about 6 or 7 turnovers the last 2 times that he's played Virginia. So I understand it's a different situation, right? Different team, different weapons. He doesn't have to do as much in this offense. But sometimes those things just live in the back of your head. Like, man, the last 2 times I faced this defense, maybe they had something figured out about him too. Yeah. Now, I think he's much better this year. Now, in 2024, he did still go 22 of 30 for 254 and 2 touchdowns, and they only lost the game 24 to 14. BC still won the game in 2023, but he's in a much better system now. He's a better player now, but, man, the numbers are still what they are, right? And that does concern you a little bit. And then the next question that I have here is, can UVA get FSU off schedule and take away what they want to do? Now, to do that, they're going to have to load the box and force Tommy to pass. That's another thing that we've heard about, you know, with this offense too. But Michael, the funny thing about this is with their secondary, I pray they try this. Please, please load the box and try this. Because right now, here's what's crazy, man. Right now, and I understand the competition. I get that. Tommy is number one among FBS quarterbacks in big-time throw rate, which is dropping it in a bucket over 20 yards downfield. So his deep ball has been there. Mm-hmm. And like we said, with the speed that you have, you can get those deep ball opportunities. And here's why I hope, you know, like they say, I wish a mother would, right? I wish UVA would load the box on us. So I'm going to start from their left corners. They have an or there. And this is their completion percentage allowed by each of their DBs.
Okay.
Their starting left corner, 64.3%. Their or, 62.5%. Their right corner, number nine, 87.5% reception rate allowed. Their two nickels, 71.4, 66.7. Four of those five DBs I just talked about had a 20% or greater missed tackle percentage as well. So not only do they let you catch the ball, they let you get yak yards too. Their free safety is at 71.4. Now their strong safety, number 27, he's only at 42.9. The other thing is, if you can find some mismatches underneath, every starting linebacker, which is two of them plus an or, have allowed a 100% reception percentage in coverage. Man, here's the thing. If you can throw the ball, you're going to have some completions, right? And keep in mind, even if they load the box and you can throw them and back them off a little bit, Florida State also ran for 230 yards against Alabama.
Alabama.
So, again, I wish a mother would load the box against Florida State in this game. And then my last thing, and I'll throw it back to you, my last question is, for UVA, can you limit Florida State's explosive plays? Because right now, UVA has allowed 42 plays of 10-plus yards. That's around 10.5 per game. Florida State has put up 63 plays in three games of 10-plus yards. That's 20 plays per game of 10 yards or more. Now, when you talk about the explosive plays allowed over 20 yards, UVA has only allowed two runs over 20 yards, but they've allowed 14 pass plays over 20 yards. So, again, man, I really think, of course, Florida State wants to run the ball. It's Gus Malzahn's offense.
Yep.
But if they load the box, I hope they do, because Tommy could have a coming out party with his arm in this game. And so, man, I hope they force him to throw and put the game on his arm, because that's going to be a recipe for disaster for UVA. And if they back off, then, again, you ran for over 200 yards against Alabama. I'm sure you're going to move the ball on the ground. So, man, I see a lot of opportunity in this defense when we talk about the things that I just said.
Yeah, I just want to focus on the one thing you said about Tommy, because I want to go to Alabama. There's two throws in that game right now. There's two big-time throws that he makes in that game. He makes a bunch of throws, but there's two big ones, right, when you talk about down-the-field passing. Obviously, the first one is the layout catch by Squirrel White. And Tommy puts that sucker on a dime, right? And it's right there in a basket. I mean, he reads the defense well. He manipulates the safety, and he puts that ball on a dime. The other one, and we talked about this in our Spear Review video that we did, where he throws that seam route to the freshman Javon Boggs there, that if he had just caught him by the shoulder, he's gone. I mean, he's walking into the touchdown, right? Now, I know we've seen what he did with, you know, in the Cupcake games. Obviously, the Mekhi Danzy throw, the two throws are just amazing. But
yeah, and Deuce, too, against East Texas A&M. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, those two. But those are Cupcake games. So if you look at just what he did against what is – probably going to be one of the best secondaries in the country in the SEC against Alabama. We'll see. But what was, you know, argued to be one of that. I mean, the boy made some incredible throws. So if Virginia wants to load the box to try to take care of this run with your, I can't even believe these numbers, 64, 62, 87, 71, 66 completion percentage. You really want to dare Tommy to throw against that when you got Deuce Robinson, who's fast and big, when you got Javon Boggs, who's fast and big, when you got Squirrel White, who's electrically fast, when you got Mekhi Danzy, who is divine fast and is growing in his wide receiver number. Oh, guess what, Jesse? We haven't even talked about Jalen Lucas. We haven't even talked about Gavin Salchuk out of the backfield. Like, okay, please load the box.
I hope you do. I hope you do. And I mean, I just think there's an opportunity, right? And if they do have to back off because of the pass, then you're just going to pop them with runs. And so, man, I definitely, like I said, I see a real opportunity against this defense. And hopefully it doesn't turn into a shootout. But I definitely think, because Gus Malzahn's not built for a shootout, but again, with if you can stretch the field and they can't cover it, well, then, hey, load them up, because we're going to be firing all over the place. One last thing before we kind of wrap this episode up. Their kicker, just in case you're wondering, 7 of 10 on field goals, 1 of 3 over 40. So maybe that could be something there. I don't even know who our kicker is. I don't know who our punter is, Michael, because Jake they don't Weinberg. Do anything.
Max.
Because we don't need him. We don't even need him. We haven't punted in 2 games. And so that's interesting there. But, man, let's go ahead and bring this home, right? I know we ran this preview really long, but that's what makes Plant the Spear different, right? We really dive in. I see some of these 15, 20-minute previews on YouTube, and I'm like, I don't see how you preview a whole game in 15, 20 minutes. So we're taking it all in. But, Michael, let's bring this home and kind of wrap this up here. So I think all in all, I'm going to do some final thoughts, then I'm going to do some keys to victory here, and then we'll make our score predictions. So I think when my final takeaway here, when we wrap up everything that we just talked about, right? So Virginia, when you talk about their offense, they have put up over 500 yards, they have rushed for over 200 yards, and they have scored over 30 points versus both power four defenses that they faced. But both of those defenses were ranked outside of the top 100 in scoring defense. Florida State is currently, I believe, 12th with 10 points per game. NC State, as we mentioned, has given up over 400 yards in 3 of 4 games this season. So this offense is good, but FSU will definitely be the best defense that they have faced. FSU only allowed 341 yards and 17 points against Alabama, which is a better offense than probably what Virginia has, right? Or at least very comparable, because that Alabama offense has been lights out since the Florida State game. I understand the competition as well. But the defense has also struggled so far, and they've only faced one decent offense. So to me, if NC State can score 35 and FSU scored 31 on Bama's defense, which is much better than UVA's, I'm pretty confident in saying that there's no reason Florida State should not be able to pop 30-plus points in this game, maybe even approaching 40. Now, UVA has home field. We already talked about it. They have the juju factor, if you want to go with that, if you believe in all that stuff. And the pressure is on Florida State, right? UVA's got nothing to lose. They lose this game. Well, it's Virginia. Whatever. Florida State loses this game, you're going to get laughed at, right? Because and then it's going to kind of do some things for that Miami game as well. Now, Florida State does have a talent advantage in the ACC per the 247 talent composite. You are 3rd in the ACC. Virginia is 15th. Mm-hmm. So I think they have 6 blue chips and you have like 38. So you have an overwhelming talent advantage. Tony Elliott's a good coach, but I think overall you have a coaching advantage there as well. So that's kind of my final thoughts. Michael, I'll let you give anything there and then we'll talk about our keys to victory.
Yeah, you know, my final thought is again, like this, I've said this before and I'll keep saying it every game. You got to come in. You have to focus. Like, this is the game in front of you. This is the most important game in front of you. You execute the play that's in front of you, right? Execute the play that's in front of you. Dominate your position wherever you are. If you're a guard, left tackle, if you're a wide receiver, running back, defensive back, DN, linebacker, whatever you are, kicker, punter, dominate your position, okay? And then win. Win the game. You are Florida State football. That is it. Unconquered, as our beloved Odell likes to say. Win the game by any means necessary.
Yeah. And so my 3 keys to victory for Florida State over Virginia. First and foremost, play a clean game. Mm. First one on the road against an opportunistic team that has a good enough offense. If you give them 2 or 3 extra at-bats, they can turn that into points.
That's right.
This is how teams, NC State, right? Just went on the road to Duke and outgained them by over 100 yards and lost. Why was that? They turned the ball over 4 times. Duke had over 100 yards in penalties and got outgained by 100 yards and still won because they turned the ball over. So first and foremost, play a clean game. Don't give them opportunities. Do not shoot yourself in the foot. Don't get a big play called back because of a stupid penalty. Don't do those things. That's how bad teams pull upsets when good teams make a lot of mistakes. The second, get pressure on Chandler Morris. You cannot let him sit back there and pick you apart. He is maybe one of the best quarterbacks here. We're not there yet. I'm more worried about Chandler Morris as a quarterback than I am Carson Beck next week. I'll tell you that. So you got to get pressure on him. You can't let him sit back there and pick you apart. But you cannot lose contain because he will hurt you with his legs. We talked about this before the show. daggone it, if there's a game James Williams had a coming out party, because we haven't seen a whole lot from him yet, this would be it. This is the game that we need him to do big things in. And then my last one here, throw the ball. I know Gus likes to run, and I'm sure they're going to run a lot, but their secondary is a glaring weakness that we can exploit, and that will also help open up the run. The weakness and the opportunity is against that secondary. Air it out. Let's do it. Let's put the ball in the air. Let's score some points. And then if the opportunity to run the ball is there, run it too. But, man, that secondary, we talked about it, is an opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, I got four quick keys to the game here. Basically, number one, play within your means, okay? You're going to get there. You're going to be juiced. It's on the road, depending on what the crowd is. It's going to be all the things. You're going to be so high. You think you're better than everybody, right? And in that time, you grow, you know, this cockiness that then you try to make other people's play. If it's not your play to make, play within your means, right? Trust your brother to do their job. Do your job, right? What's friend? Yep. Play within your means. Number two, can we catch a dadgum punt? Because I'm telling you, going to your point about playing a clean game, if you let a punt drop and roll all the way to the one, well, now you're setting up your offense to have to go that extra mile yards, or you get a stupid incident where it touches somebody and now they get another possession.
Like
the Alabama game. Can we catch a punt? Can we catch a punt, please?
Yeah.
Number three, you have to hold Virginia under 150 yards rushing. Yep. I mean, listen, I have a lot of confidence. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I mean, after what I saw against Ty Simpson, I have a lot of confidence in our secondary, right? So I'm not saying put him on an island. I think Tony White's going to be very smart about how he does that. But we've got to stop the run. If you stop the run, you stop the offense. Got to stop the run. And then number two, take what the defense is giving you, Tommy. That's my key for him. You don't got to go be Superman. If you just be patient, this defense will give you the Red Sea, okay?
Yeah.
It will part like that. It'll be a miracle, and you'll just walk right on through. But you got to be patient. Let your offensive line, hopefully they're playing well. Let them do what you want. Let your wide receivers get open, right? If it's there for you to run, run and slide. If it's not there, find the check down. You will get that. That big plays will come. Just be patient.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So let's get into some score predictions here, right? Now, I'll say this. I think UVA is going to be ready for a fight, right? I think they're going to be hyped up. I think they're going to be ready to go, especially in the first half. They might put some points up on you. You know, Florida State, again, hasn't seen really good athletes in three weeks. So they may sneak one by you early in the game. I also think Florida State's going to be ready for a fight because they know they are a focused team. Florida State starters have only played about four quarters in the past 3 weeks, so they should be fresh. They've also built depth by playing a lot of guys over the last couple weeks. So to me, when I look at this game at the end, I think Florida State's depth, I think Florida State's speed, and I think Florida State's defense is the difference in this game that puts it over the top for the Seminoles. Now, I wanted to go a little bit higher than I'm going to go on the score prediction, right? But I also think that knowing what that offense has, if Florida State carries a lead into the second half, I do think, and they're running the ball successfully, I do think they may try to slow the game down. I know Gus likes to go fast, but if you have a lead, sometimes the best defense is keeping the offense off the field. And so you could see them kind of slow the game down. Let's kill the clock. If you got a lead and you're running the ball successfully, maybe that drags the score down a little bit. But at the end of the day, Michael, I think it's going to be a good game, but I think Florida State wins. I think Florida State covers. Give me the Noles, 38-24, and we bring home a victory from Charlottesville. We shake the juju off, and we win this one 38-24 and cover.
Okay, I like that. Listen, you know, against Alabama, Alabama started the game, and they were hot, right? They just went down. I think it was, 15 plays, took almost all of the first quarter. Right. Yeah. It looked like we were kind of discombobulated there. We obviously went back and watched the film. We saw where some of the adjustments were made. As soon as the adjustment was made, okay, Alabama scores 7 points, took 15 plays, took them almost a whole quarter to score that. Florida State then goes on a 24-0 run, right, against Alabama. Then Alabama goes on a 10-0 run. Florida State closes out at 7. We get a 31-17 victory against Alabama. I think Virginia is going to come out hot. This is what I think they're going to be juice. The Juju 30th anniversary. Oh my gosh, Florida State's here. We're going to upset them, guys, and our wine and cheese, right? And then Florida State says, all right, we're done. And they're going to go. And I have Florida State, man, I had 34-17, but now I want to say 42-17. That's going to be okay. The final score. They cover, they get a dub.
I'll say this. When I said I think they might slow the game down a little bit, I did have us at 41-24. So, I mean, I really do think we can break 40 points. Yeah. I mean, if Stanford could have put up 23 on them.
Right.
NC State put up 35 on them.
Right.
I don't see why Florida State can't put up over 40. So, I could see this game kind of getting out of hand, right? I could see a 41-17 type of game. But I'm going to go with 38-24 because it's a good offense and it's our first game on the road. Right. We have not seen this team play on the road yet. You've seen Alabama struggle on the road. You've seen some other teams. So, but I still, you win, you cover. That's a two-score win, and I think you're okay with that, right? And then you turn your focus to that massive game in Tallahassee next week. So that's going to do it, guys, for the Florida State-Virginia preview. We appreciate you guys watching, sticking through to the whole thing. Hopefully, you have a great idea of what to expect on Friday night because we have talked about every nook and cranny of this Virginia team. And so I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, drop a like and subscribe if you enjoy this. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. Check out Alumni Hall and save 10% with Coach Spear. We also have a website at plantthespear.com. I'll be getting the written preview coming up here shortly for you guys, so make sure you check that out. You can also find all of our videos and podcasts over there as well, man. Just really, I'm really excited to see this team play another team with a pulse, man, because I really just want to see, like, if we come out and have another game like we did against Alabama, it's off to the races, and that game next Saturday is going to be just an all-timer. But we're not looking ahead to that yet,
right.
So we appreciate you guys watching. Again, if you're going to be at this game in Charlottesville on Friday, West Lot, we will be tailgating. I'm going to put up some FSU flags on the tent, so just look for those. I don't know if I'll be the only one there with FSU flags up or not, but just look for the flags. We'll be there as well. Also, make sure you follow us on social media and kind of come along with me for the first ride in the press box, man. But we appreciate you guys for joining us. We appreciate you for your support. And, guys, we will see you on the other side. Well, one thing before we get out of here. The post-game show could be hit or miss, right? We don't really know because with me having credentials for this game, I will probably have post-game access to go ask questions to Mike Norvell and the players. I don't know how many opportunities I'm ever going to get to do that, so I want to try and take advantage of that. So the post-game may be pre-recorded. It may come out Saturday. We will get something done for you, I promise. Just know it may not be our normal workflow, okay? So just keep that in mind after the game. But again, thanks, guys, for watching, and we'll catch you on the other side. As always, go Noles, baby.